Today is election day. Remember to vote. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Jane and Andrew Kobe is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
The Mac is back starting Return Wednesday at 7 p.m. on three ESPN networks. There's three matchups in the Mac. Tune in to that. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, every weekend we watch all the NFL games. We text each other, we make notes, and we distill what we saw down into one takeaway. It's time for Tuesday's takeaways. Jalen, what is your takeaway from week 8 in the NFL?
The leadership of Mike Tomlin leading Blitzburg to an undefeated record has been outstanding. Also, Russell Wilson playing outstanding, in particular throwing the deep ball. But the Kansas City Chiefs, regardless of record and regardless of stats, are the undisputed best team in the NFL. The defending champions continue to improve seemingly weekly on defense, making timely plays, and their offense is just as explosive as it's ever been, led by Patrick Mahomes.
My Tuesday takeaway is that the Chargers, while they have found their future franchise quarterback, Justin Herbert, that man, they have done something record-breaking, spectacular, amazing. In four straight games, they have been up by 16 points and then blown the lead. This has never happened before in the NFL. The Chargers cannot keep a lead.
That's why they shouldn't have did Tyrod Taylor like that.
Everyone, make sure to go out and vote. We'll be back 2 o'clock on ESPN.
Happy Hour is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly.
All right, welcome to Highly Questionable. We got Bomani Jones. We got Izzy Gutierrez. They both have better ear situations than I have here. They are, look at you. Yes, you've got a technological setup much better than Bruce Arians' last night. Let's get started.
Did last night's win make you think less of the Tampa Bay Bucks?
They won the football game. All sorts of weird things happen every week in that sport. Kansas City ended up losing a game at home against the Raiders. They played a very bad Giants football team, and the Giants did Giants things. And at the very end of the game, you saw the micro here at the end of the game where the Giants got hosed. This is a play that you can get away with if a flag doesn't get thrown on the field. It was close enough to go either way. But once the flag is thrown and you pick it up, you find yourself in one of these situations where you end up wondering, wait a minute, if this had been the other way and it had been Tom Brady throwing into that end zone, I think the defensive back gets drowned in penalty flag from every orifice of the refereeing world. And so when they pick it up, you're saying to yourself, maybe a call is the one impacting that game. But even if they had gotten that call, they still need to get the yard, and all they get is a tie game. I think Tampa is very good and about to get better because the biggest difference in that team is Jameis Winston isn't out there throwing 30 interceptions. Their quarterback is not turning the ball over. Tom Brady, last six games, one interception. That's a big deal.
Well, the other difference with that team is the defense is one of the best in the league, and the talent had been there, but they hadn't quite put it together like they seem to have put it together this year. And you can see that in the Giants game. One thing about that Daniel Jones, man, he's going to give you the ball back a couple times. And when he was giving them chances to get the ball back, they were taking the ball back. Now, let's talk about this pass interference call right here, because I actually don't think that it was pass interference. You know, he had not turned his head around, but the ball hits his arm before it gets to where the receiver was. Hey, come on, man. This ain't really what I'm tripping on. Let's get a little bit of it. It's not for a great play. Come on now, so what?
I am.
Here we go, I still believe that's not pass interference.
Look, whether or not that's pass interference, I think he contacted him early before the ball hit him. Whatever, you're nitpicking, right? But the fact that they basically had a review on this on the field and they picked up the flag, it's the type of penalty, it's a type of thing that if it happens in the NBA, they say, oh, this league is rigged. And in this case, nobody really says anything because it's the Giants, and frankly, they're trying to lose, and it's Tampa on the other side, so everybody's happy there. But I was really upset when I saw them pick up that flag.
Yeah, let me tell you who ain't trying to lose. Daniel Jones, who every week seems to be telling the Giants, maybe you guys ought to check out some more Clemson games. And if you don't do that, maybe Ohio State. Maybe you ought to give a look at that. You ever heard of Trey Lance? Like, that's what Daniel Jones is. Daniel Jones gets on the field, and I imagine the searches in the tri-state area for quarterbacks in college go straight through the roof.
Not since Geno Smith has a guy turned the ball over like this. Basically, Tampa was looking in the mirror last year. Jameis Winston, as a turnover machine, was doing the kind of things that Daniel Jones did last night. Keep in mind, he made a great throw to Golden Tate at the end, but he should have been picked off right before that. He made a terrible throw, like two plays right before that, that should have been his third interception of the game.
It makes me laugh and cry at the same time when I hear the quotes afterward, and it's Daniel Jones, oh, there's things I have to work on. I'll get better at it. Don't throw the ball when there are defenders hanging on your shoulder. That's take the sack, for crying out loud. You know you're turnover prone already.
There's not a lot of precedent for people getting better at that, right, Bo? He turns the ball over. He's reckless, period. He ain't fixing that.
Now, to me, it's less reckless than he panics. And panic is something that doesn't really just go away because you decide you don't want to do it no more.
Is Bill Belichick making legitimate points about why the Patriots stink? Or is he just making excuses?
Well, I find it interesting that he's doing anything in the way of sounding a little bit defensive, where he's sticking out his chest and saying, look, we made certain trades and we were successful in making those compromises and those trades on our salary cap because look at all the success we've had. But let's listen to Bill Belichick in his own words here.
I mean, look, we paid Cam Newton $1 million. I mean, it's obvious we didn't have any money. You know, it's nobody's fault. That's what we did the last 5 years. We sold out and won 3 Super Bowls, played in the 4th, and played in an AFC Championship game. You know, this year we had less to work with. It's not an excuse, it's just a fact.
I mean, it is a fact. And also a fact is that team has been ravaged by COVID in a way that no other team in the league has been ravaged by COVID. You put those two things together, you lose your quarterback. He's got 20 touchdown passes, Tom Brady does. What do the Patriots have? Like the Patriots, do the Patriots have 5 touchdown passes this season?
Yeah, and they don't have Mike Evans. They don't have Chris Godwin. They don't have any of those guys that Tom Brady is throwing to in Tampa Bay. I do love Bill Belichick saying, we've been good for 19 years in a row, right? Like, he didn't have to come with this, it's the salary cap or anything else, and we sold out, and these were the results of us pushing it to the limit with the salary cap. No, we've been good for 19 years in a row, and here you are up in my face about the 20th. Are you really going to be in my face about the 20th? And the truth is, he has not been in a situation in 20 years where he has to do such a thing because they've been good for 19 years in a row.
Which leads me to my question is, why is he still doing this? I mean, you've got the other guy, Tom Brady, who's living his dreams out at the end of his career, right? Going to Tampa and playing with those receivers and adding Antonio Brown, getting pretty much whatever he wants. And Bill Belichick's over here going through a rebuild. Like, he doesn't need to prove himself. He could possibly still win 8 or 9 games with Cam Newton, $1 million Cam Newton as his quarterback. But this doesn't seem like the right place for him. Like, why is he trying to do this? I know, you know, the Patriots pay him a lot, and we don't actually know what he gets paid. But does it seem worth this for this level of head coach? Like, he's going to be defending himself over the next couple of years?
Well, the tricky thing with Belichick is they've done this for 20 years, and not once has he had to make a decision on a quarterback. They took Tom Brady in the 6th round, they threw him in, and then it wound up working. But he's never had to do that one part, which is the hardest part and the one that maybe involves the most luck of anything else, figuring out who your quarterback is. How long would that realistically take him to do? Because there's no telling, right? They're not going to be bad enough, right? I don't think, to be at the top of the draft to get one of those guys. And those guys might not even be ready to play right away. Like, how long will it take for Bill Belichick to get his hands on a quarterback that you could build around?
How about half a season in, though, the idea that Tom Brady is haunting this franchise in so many different ways? It isn't just that Gronk is now in Tampa. It isn't just that Antonio Brown is reportedly living again with Tom Brady in Tampa. It isn't just that Tom looks super young while they're getting a lot of failure out of the quarterback position. Also, as an added bonus, Antonio Brown and Tom Brady are the giant dead money cap hits. That is why Bill Belichick is talking that way about how much money he doesn't have.
Did you say he looks super young because of his face?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Hold on. Did you say that Antonio Brown moved into his house again?
Reportedly, mm-hmm. Yes. It's not even
his
house.
How does he get her to go for this?
It's not even his house. It's Derek Jeter's house.
Yeah. Like, I feel like you got to call the landlord before you move somebody new in, right?
Would a 16-team NFL playoffs make the season more compelling?
All right. I know many of you, if I simply say to you, more games, it is the solution and the medicine to everything that ails football. It's something that football was always offering you when in the middle of that concussion crisis. More games, it's the elixir that fixes everything. But if you're rooting for more games, I am going to shame you by reminding you that that means you are rooting for COVID. You are rooting for the disease if you are rooting for more games, because I don't want more playoff games. I don't need more playoff games. It would have meant last year that I would have had Mason Rudolph in my playoffs. No, thank you.
That's the thing. It's not so much about us not wanting more playoff games as much as we don't want more playoff teams. Are there legitimately 8 teams per conference that you want to see? Because the worst part about it is one of those teams you don't really see might mess around and somehow wind up beating one of the teams that you actually do want to see. The more teams you let into your playoff, actually the less legitimate your champion winds up being, because you're increasing the greater chance of randomness. But when I look at it and I say to myself, man, these playoffs won't be the playoffs unless the Browns get in. That's what you're saying when you want the 16-team playoff, yeah. And I don't feel like you really want that.
The Browns, the Raiders, the Dolphins actually might look good in the playoffs if their defense keeps going. But I don't see the legitimacy in that, Bo. I don't see the idea of, hey, we had some troubling season and we're not exactly sure who what the 14th, 15th, and 16th best teams are. Like, that's not really going to matter. I don't think the 8 seed we're talking about, the Raiders or the Browns of the world, they're not going to make a run. So this is strictly just about keeping the games at the same number, basically. And look, they went through a lot. They jumped through a lot of hoops to not have to cancel any games early in the season. And so far, when the bye week started, I'm pretty sure they can make something happen so they don't have to cancel any games down the stretch. But this seems egregious. It seems like it's just unnecessary addition and really just setting up for the future to expand the playoffs.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie Show,
I have a confession to make. There is somebody that I really like who happens to be on this show here, who at one point a few years ago, I kind of muted on Twitter too, because Bo, you just tweeted too much.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Do you question if DJ Uiagalelei's dad deserves better?
All right, this is Trevor Lawrence's backup. Thank you for saying the name for me. Let's see if we can try this together. You guys think you could do it?
Definitely
DJ Uiagalelei. Of course, Bomani can do that effortlessly. Yeah. This is DJ, what is it again? DJ
Uiagalelei.
Talking about his father and his father's Twitter habits.
You mentioned your dad loving the media and you not so much. I heard that you had to mute him on Twitter because you were tired of seeing all the good stuff he was posting about you. Is that true? And what's that relationship like, just in terms of how much he's rooting for you and you kind of being like, all right, let's try a little bit.
I mean, yeah, I'm not. I think he's still blocked on my Twitter. I think I've had him blocked since probably like my sophomore year in high school. I just don't like seeing the stuff he posts. He posts a lot. I don't know. It's been like that my whole life. But no, I think he's still blocked on my Twitter. I don't know. I just don't like seeing some of the stuff, like this stuff. But I know he's just a happy dad, but I just don't like seeing it personally.
Okay. That is not what I was expecting there. It makes me want to ask more questions about what their relationship is, actually. Not questions that are too hard, just questions out of curiosity.
Well, Pete Thamel wrote a story about this a couple of years ago, Dan. His father is a 420-pound bodyguard, like a celebrity bodyguard. Like, that's where his pops is coming from, and that's why I myself would be scared to block somebody like that. Not everybody takes that so well. Like, it's good that his pops could take that in stride, but I also would like at some point for people to put a picture up of DJ Uiagalelei, because I want folks to understand something, because that Polynesian name, that Samoan name, is really going to jump out. But you look at a picture of him, his mama's name is Tasha. That's right. He's ours too, right? Like, I just don't want there to be any sort of confusion on this. It's going to be fun to watch as people don't actually realize that he's black and they ain't going to remember to say all the black quarterback stuff. So maybe I shouldn't have said nothing about it, because now they're going to get in line with how they normally get in line. But I'm just letting you know, got another one.
I have a confession to make. There is somebody that I really like who happens to be on this show here, who at one point a few years ago, I kind of muted on Twitter too, because Bo, you just tweeted too much. I didn't follow that many people. Shocking. And so I'm just like, you know what? Let me take a little break from Bo's beef with all these randos and just mute them for a second and see what happens. I'm sorry, Bo. I'm sorry. I love you, brother, but I had to do it. Now I can't get it works, of your tweets, but before.
I mean, it works out well. I never had to mute you, but I'll never be noticing anything you say anyway, you so go. It works out the same.
Oh, really Jesus, say much, that escalated so, yeah. unnecessarily.
No, totally.
I know, I'm not offended. I know who I am. I know what I do. I'm not offended by being muted by people, but I do think some people who have had me muted would be surprised to know. I don't really even get down like that no more. You can come back.
Do you question if the gigantic 10-year-old slot receiver is even more dangerous at quarterback?
All right, so James is his name. He is a recruit scheduled to take on scholarship offers with the 2027 class because, as was mentioned, he's allegedly 10 years old. We will show you this. We've been obsessed with him as a slot receiver. Yes, he's very large, and that's a little, you know, bubble, little screen there. Or,
he's not 10,
there's
man.
Nothing little there, Dad.
There's nothing little there. He is not. I can't believe he got tackled at the end of that, honestly. Now let's see. I thought he was dropping back to pass there. Oh, dear God.
There we go.
No. Oh, come on. Come on. That's a giant hole.
I mean, why do you bother with the extra step of throwing the ball? Just play him at quarterback. And I mean, Lamar Jackson is jealous of this guy right here.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself that they might as well just get into Wildcat and then we get the clip, and that's actually what they did. But here's what I want you to notice. As he goes farther along in these runs, he ain't really sprinting away from people. You know why? Because guys that size aren't supposed to run long distances. Like, I think he's actually a little tired of the novelty. He might enjoy just staying on the line and blocking instead of having to do all that heavy breathing.
Man, he ain't tired. That guy's got a construction gig where he works full time, 40 hours a week.
Dan, look at you, look at him, and then talk about how that dude ain't tired. You telling me that you can't relate to maybe being a little bit tired after doing all that running?
He's not 10 years old. He's tired. It's because he's got a second gig, and he's got a secret family that he goes home to.
He's got 3 degrees.
Do you guys want to see what it looks like when he does play on the offensive line?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Sure. Okay, here we go.
Oh, I mean, come on.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
how do you lose?
What do the parents on the other team think? What do the kids on the other team think when they get, do they know when they get to the field? Wait a minute. Who's that? Why is he out here with us?
I'm not playing if he's out there. Like there is at least one kid on every team that's like, coach, they're not going to cancel the game.
Do you question if this goalkeeper is good at his job?
All right, so this is always fun. We're going to go out to Spanish soccer, and the team for this keeper is down one goal, which means he's pressing. They've emptied their net, and he is on offense here.
Oh,
I mean, that's pretty good. He's probably playing the wrong position.
Well played.
I want you to listen to this lady throughout. Make sure you listen to her, Dan. What a feeling, huh?
Yeah, but why are we sticking with this video? Does something bad happen here? Does he now allow a goal because he's so excited?
Spoilers, Dan.
Something tells me you just ruined it.
There it is. Okay.
Way to go. Way to go. Way to go. Who's worse at his job than that goalkeeper? Dan.
No. No, I was asking questions of why it is we were staying with that video as he went back. I am not worse at my job than that keeper.
And you answered it. That was the problem.
Well, I'm probably going to do something that's really going to tick people off, so I'll say spoiler alert. But Dan, that's basically...
You can't spoil that show. I'm only... You can't ruin that. That's even worse than what I did.
This show should be called Bomani and the Good for Nothing All-Stars. Both of y'all just good for nothing right now.
Highly Questionable is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Streaming online, The Old Man and the Three Podcast.
All right, so this is J.J. Redick's podcast, and they have Bradley Beal on, and they're asking him his second-best teammate ever, the assumption being that John Wall is number one. So who does Bradley Beal, who is always in the subject of trade rumors, who does he say is his second-best teammate ever?
who's the second best player you played with? Like, I went through every roster of yours. And look, I'm not saying you play with bad players at all, but like, in terms of a career, it's obviously Paul Pierce, but he was at the down end of his career.
Right.
After, I mean, after John, it's like, who is the next best player you played with?
Man, it's tough because I've probably had over like, 50 or 200 teammates. That's bad, huh?
I don't know. Maybe it was last year, the year before. One of them, I looked at the roster. I was like, "There's like 27 guys on the roster
one
this year."
One year, I had 30 different teammates in 1 year. But I would say that had a crazy impact. I'd say Gortat.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my God.
I think the quiet nods and the silence after he answers are more damning than him having to think that long. I will say Marcin Gortat made an all-star team, did he not? Like, that was a legitimate center in the league for a couple of years.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to look at it. I actually am disappointed. I was hoping that his answer would be John Wall. That would be the shadiest thing in the world that he could possibly say. Who's your second best teammate? John Wall. Who's first? Haven't even thought of it.
I mean, can we just comment on, instead of John Wall, the wall behind him? Was that a gorilla smoking a cigar behind Bradley Beal?
Yeah. That's what that is.
Right. Is it a that famous is, gorilla?
It's just a gorilla smoking a cigar.
In syndication, Wheel of Fortune.
My good friend Pat Sajak. I love this guy and his show. He marvels at it just like you do. The idea that Hangman on television has had this kind of run. Let's see what we've got here.
Alex. Tom Isaac Newton.
No. Oh.
Sir Isaac Newton.
Yeah.
Oh. You know, sometimes you get the Tom confused. I actually looked it up. There is a Thomas Newton. He was an author in the late 1700s. So maybe she's just really, really smart and just got her Newtons confused.
Bomani, how about you? Are you intrigued?
When did you look that up? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, at what point did you decide that you needed to inquire into how exactly this mistake was made?
I wanted to give this woman some credit. More than she just screwed up on national television, wanted to see if maybe she's a secret genius who just got her Newtons confused. And it still could be true.
All right, we're finished here. If you want more Bomani Jones, you could check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones. If you want more Izzy Gutierrez, I don't know what to tell you.
Call me.
See this?
Oh, man. You're not going to miss much, but I deserve that.
I know.